Genesis chapter 46. Donald, you read it.
So Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father and his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night. He said, "Jacob, Jacob, here I am," he replied. "I am God, the God of your father," he said. "Do not be afraid. Go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back, and Joseph and the tent will close your eyes." Then Jacob went to Beersheba, and Israel's sons.
So I want to stop here first. What is the reason why God has to reveal to Israel in a vision at night? What's the reason? Did anybody know? Gabriel, do you know? You don't know? So if you don't know, then you write it down in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. God spoke to Abram and saying to him that verse 7, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it." But Abram said, "O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it?" And then God make a covenant with Abram and guarantee that Abram and his descendant will take possession of the promised land. But in that, in verse 12, "As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, 'Know for certain that your descendant will be stranger in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendant will come back here, for the sins of the Amorites has not yet reaches its full measure." So the reason why God revealed to Israel in a vision is so as to ensure that what God promised Abraham in those days, and God going to fulfill in the time of Joseph, and also in the time of Israel, that God will bring his descendant back from Egypt, back to the promised land. Okay, that's the reason why we will. Because Israel is afraid that, you know, if I leave the promised land, will I be able to get back? The reason why, you know, you leave, just like what God has revealed to Abram, that you're going to stay in that country for four generations, for 400 years. Okay? Okay, now verse 5, right?
"Then Jacob left Beersheba. Israel's sons took their father, Jacob and their children, their wives, and the cart that Pharaoh had sent to fetch them. He also took with them their livestock and their possessions they acquired in Canaan. And Jacob and all his offspring went to Egypt. He took with them to Egypt his sons and grandsons and his daughters and granddaughters, all his offspring. These were the names of the sons of Israel, Jacob and his descendants, who went to Egypt: Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, the sons of Reuben, Hanoch, Haru, Hezron, the sons of Simeon, Jeroboam, Janet, Ohad, Shechem, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman; the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merah; the sons of Judah, Onan, Jeoth, Perez, Zerah, but and Onan had died in the land of Canaan; the sons of Perez, Hezron, and Hamul; the sons of
Issachar,
Tola, Hua, Ashab, and Shimeon; the sons of Zebulun, Sherad, Elon, and Jehu. These were the sons made a vow to Jacob in Haran, beside his father. These sons and daughters were his, 33 in all. The sons of Gad, Ziphon, Haki, Suni, Esbon, Eri, Goradi, and Ariel. The sons of Asher, Imna, Ishavish, Ishia, Biraha. His sister was Sarah. The sons of Biraha, Heber, and Nob. These were the children born to Jacob by Israel, whom Laban had given his daughter Leah, 16 in all. The son of Jacob was Israel, Joseph and Benjamin, Egypt, Manasseh and Ephraim were born to Joseph by Asenath, the daughter of Parvah, priest of On. The sons of Benjamin, Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Gera, Mammon, Rosh, Lupin, Rupin, and Adar. These are the sons of Rachel, who were born to Jacob, 14 in all. The sons of Dan, Hushim, the sons of Naphtal, Jaziel, Guni, Jezer, and Shimel. These were the sons born to Jacob by Bilhah, whom Laban had given his daughter Rachel, 7 in all. All those who went to Egypt with Jacob, those who were his direct descendants, not counting his sons and wives, numbered 66 persons. With the two sons who had been born with Joseph in Egypt, the members of Jacob's family, which went to Egypt, were 70 in all. Now Jacob sent Judah ahead of
Okay, here, stop here. In verse 27, what did the Bible say? How many people go to Egypt? You say 70, right? But verse 26, all those who went to Egypt with Jacob, those who were his direct descendant, not counting his son's wife, number 66. So I want you to add it up, okay? Try to add it up. Verse 15, how many? 33, right? Okay, Christopher, you add it up, okay? Verse 15, 33, and then verse 18, 16, right? So that 33 doesn't include you write 33 minus 2, because in verse 12, the first two sons of Judah, they were dead, okay? They die in the land of Canaan, so they cannot go to Egypt. So 33 minus 2 is 31, right? And then 16 in verse 18, 16. And then go to verse 22, 14. And then 7, verse 23. So how many? Donald? 33 plus 16 plus 14. 16, 14 is 30. 30 is 33 is 63. 63 and 7 is 70, right? In 70. And how come they say 66? 70 minus 2. That the first two sons of Judah, and minus two of the first two sons that Joseph gave birth when Joseph was in Egypt, Manasseh in verse 20, and Ephraim. So minus 70 minus 4 is 66. That's where 66 come from. Okay? So actually, it's only 66 go down there, but total is 70. As if the first two sons of Judah was there, but first two sons, they have died in the land of Canaan. And whereas the Joseph two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, they were born in Egypt. They don't have to go to Egypt. They were born in Egypt, okay? Now, verse 28.
Now Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to get directions to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen. Joseph had his chariots made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Israel said to Joseph,
You have to speak louder because I'm recording, right?
Now I'm ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive. Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and speak to Pharaoh, and I will say to him, my brother and my father's household, who are living in the land of Canaan, have come to me. The men are shepherds, they tend livestock, and they have brought along their flocks and herds and everything they own. When the Pharaoh calls you in and asks, what's your occupation? You should answer, your servant have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did. Then you will be allowed to sell the region in Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to your children.
So what's the reason? What's the reason why Joseph tell his brother what to say to Pharaoh? Donald? So that what? You don't know, you read it one more time, because you, when you read it, you have to understand it. The answer is in, it was 31 to the end of it. 31 to 34. Read it one more time.
Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and speak to Pharaoh and he will say one. My brothers and my father's household who are living in the land of Canaan have come to me. The men are shepherds and they tend livestock, and they have brought along their flocks and herds and everything they own. When Pharaoh calls you in and asks, what's your occupation? You should answer, your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did. Then you will be allowed to sell in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to you.
So what is the reason why why Joseph tell his brother ahead of time, in case Pharaoh call you in and ask you what is your occupation, you should answer, your servant have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our father did. What is the reason why Joseph has to tell his brother what to say? It's a place to live. Wow. More than that. What else? You know, Egypt is a big place. He can stay in Egypt anywhere he likes. But what if his brother didn't listen to his, what if his elder brothers don't listen to Joseph, the younger brother, saying to the Pharaoh that our occupation is a shepherd? Then their brother will be scattered all over the places. If they scattered all over the places in Egypt, and they will be in deep trouble. What kind of trouble I'm talking about? Do you know? You don't know? Anybody knows? Gabriel? What happened if the 66 people, they enter into the land of Egypt, and then they scatter throughout the entire Egypt? They will be replaced. You know? They have to live together. If they live together, then they live as a nation together. Because God's saying to them what? They're going to stay there for how long? 4 generations. 400 years, right? If let's say, okay, Donald live in Sherwood Park, and then Christopher live in River Bend, and then Michael live in Millwood, scatter all over the places, you will lose your culture. You know, you forget where you come from. And you don't know that you have to go back to the promised land, right? They have to stay in one place. Because as a shepherd, the Egyptian, for all the shepherds are detestable to the Egyptian. They don't like this kind of occupation. They want to have nothing to do with you guys. And if they have nothing to do with you people, then that's even better. Then you can grow together, right? So Joseph is very, very smart. Okay? So that's why when you are young, you don't know why your parents saying what you're saying to you. You better ask your parents why you're saying what you're saying, so that you learn the reason for it. The reason why Joseph tell their brothers what to say has a reason for that, so that their brother won't scatter throughout the entire Egypt. By that time, even though God want them to leave, they will not leave.
because they have mixed marriage with the Egyptian. They settled down there. And they all speak Egyptian. And they lost the Hebrew, right? Isn't it? Wow, I think, Christopher, do you know Chinese now? Do you know any Chinese? You know some Chinese? Really? Okay, could you read Psalm 23 to me in Chinese? Now you cannot, right? But if I ask Michael, he can do that, right, Michael? Not really? Not really. Oh, man. Jin, you can't do it? Well, Jin was in German, right?
Yeah.
That's the problem. Because, you know, because we scatter all over the places. You know what I mean? Yeah. Hannah, can you do that? See, that's the problem. Yeah. I don't think Joyce can do that either. You can do it? Sik Tang, Sik Gong. But you cannot write. You can listen. You can talk. But you cannot write. You know what? Can you imagine? And if you're not living within a Chinese culture, one generation, you lost it. But if you live together, 66 people speak the same language and grow together after 400 years, you still can speak Hebrew. At the same time, you speak Egyptian language too. You know, it's nice. As a Chinese, you learn how to speak Mandarin. It's good. You understand what I'm trying to say when you grow older. I don't care what kind of profession you have. You got to have some Chinese client. If you cannot speak Chinese, they won't give you the job. So you better learn. Hey? You know, Wesley? What did I just say? Do you believe in it? Then you better learn Chinese. When I preach in Chinese, you better listen. You ask Hannah. At first she didn't understand. But now she understands fully. Not fully, 99%. Right? 95? See? So you better learn. Okay? Because you look like Chinese and you don't speak Chinese? Well, you know what? If you don't speak Chinese, you look like Chinese, you may not even have a Chinese wife. You may have a Korean wife. I'm not kidding you. Because you know, the Chinese girl say, I want to talk to you in Chinese. I'm sorry, I don't speak Chinese. You don't speak Chinese? Chinese girl won't like you. You like Korean? You don't like Korean girl? What's wrong with Korean girl? Just Korean girl look like Chinese but don't speak Chinese? Eh? You don't like Korean girl? What about Japanese girl? Eh? What about Japanese girl? Eh? It's better? No? You like Chinese girl, right?
Yes.
Oh, that girl. Oh, boy. You like Chinese girl, but you don't speak Chinese. Oh, I don't know. I don't know how can you find a Chinese girl.
She likes my girl.
You know, that's the problem. I tell you a true story, okay? 10 years ago, I knew a local born Chinese. And he didn't know how to speak Chinese. But once he graduated with a law degree, he ended up being a lawyer in a law firm. And people see that his last name, Wang, is a Chinese name. The Chinese client approached him. He said, I'm sorry, I don't speak Chinese. He said, sorry, you don't speak Chinese. And the client left. He lost the job. You know what did he say? Now he learned Chinese. If you're a medical doctor, and you, they see your last name, Lam, they thought you are Chinese, they come to your clinic and speak to you in Chinese, you say, I'm sorry, I don't speak Chinese, you don't have that patient. And I'm not kidding you. I don't want you to learn a hard lesson when you're older. Okay? You learn it well now. That's the reason why Joseph want them to stay together, so that they can preserve the language. It is nice to learn another language. If you learn Japanese, good for you too. You know? Learn as much as you can now, when you were young. Don't be lazy. You got that? You think it's easy, right? You just listen to a sermon, an English sermon, you think you can understand. You don't want to understand Cantonese sermon. Later on, you're going to regret. I guarantee you, you're going to regret. Okay? By that time, it's too late. And I'm not kidding you. You may not learn how to write, it's okay. But at least you know how to what? Speak. At least you understand what they're trying to say to you. Okay? I heard that last week there's a Mandarin speaking lady call our church because we send a pamphlet at TNT in the north side. She get the pamphlet, she get the phone number. And she called, that phone number is Key Lam phone number. And that Mandarin speaking lady speak to Key Lam in Mandarin. Key Lam speak in Cantonese Mandarin. And the girl say, could you speak Cantonese? And Key Lam say, I'm speaking Cantonese already. I'm speaking Cantonese already. I'm speaking Mandarin already. What do you expect? And I thought, you know, same thing like that. I thought she won't call back because Key give my home phone number to her. And an hour later, at 9 o'clock in the morning, she called back. Fortunately, she called back. And then she go to the Northside Church now. Can you imagine, you know, they want to talk to you in Mandarin and you say, you do not know what you're talking about? That's really bad. Okay? And fortunately, Key said, I learned a little bit Cantonese now. And Mandarin, yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I'm speaking Mandarin now already. Because she did not understand what he's trying to say. I'm speaking Mandarin. Hey, you better teach him Mandarin. Okay? Yeah. Don't talk to him in English, okay? Talk to him in Mandarin. Okay, where are we now? In verse 12. We finished in the chapter 46. Now we begin 47. Okay, now, what did Pharaoh do? I mean, what did Joseph's father, Jacob, do when he left Egypt? My father and brother with their flock and herds and everything they own have come from the land of Canaan. When you move away from Edmonton in the future for a new job, you make sure you sell everything, okay? Sell everything, don't leave anything there. Don't leave your wife, don't leave your children. When you go together. Okay? Verse 2. Joseph chose five of his brother and present them before Pharaoh. But remember that five brother has to remember what Joseph has said so that he knows what to say to Pharaoh. Verse 3. You see, exactly, that's exactly what Pharaoh asked for. You see how smart Joseph is? Joseph has the wisdom from God. He knows what Pharaoh will ask his brother. Because Pharaoh thought that if Joseph is so smart, that he can manage all his possession, right? Give him the wisdom as to what to do, how to manage their well-being during the 7 good years, and so as to so that they won't die in the 7 years of famine, right? They were thinking that, wow, maybe your brother is very smart too. I want to use them. So that's why. Ask them, what is your occupation? Okay?
Your servants are shepherds, David called to Pharaoh. This is our father's work. Also he said to him, we have come to live here a while. Because famine is severe in the servants' flocks with no pasture. So now please let your servants sell and go. Pharaoh said to Joseph, your father and your brothers come to you, and the land of Egypt is before you. Tell your father and your brothers the best part of the land. Let them live in Goshen. And if you know any of among them with special abilities, put them in charge of my own livestock. And Joseph brought
him. Okay, I want to stop here. So that Joseph know exactly where is the best place being a shepherd. Goshen is the best place for them to stay, at least for 4 generations, for 400 years. And later on, when he mentioned that place, Pharaoh agreed because that place is for shepherd. And then they settle in Goshen, okay? Verse 7. So I want to stop here, verse 10. Who blessed who? Who blessed who? In verse 10. Christopher? So, who is greater than? Isn't the Pharaoh is greater than Jacob? And how come you say Jacob is greater than Pharaoh? What made you say that? How come you say Jacob is greater than Pharaoh? He blessed him. Isn't it Pharaoh bless him too and give him a place to stay in Goshen? And how come you say that Jacob is greater than Pharaoh? Could you turn to Hebrews chapter 7? Chapter 7, verse 7. Christopher, could you read that? So Michael, do you see who is greater now? Who is greater? Jacob is greater? Why? I want you to speak louder, okay? Say it again. In verse 7, read it one more time. So Pharaoh is the lesser person. Pharaoh is blessed by Jacob, right? So Jacob is greater, right? Okay, good. So I want you to write that right beside Genesis chapter 47, verse 10. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. That means Jacob is greater than Pharaoh.
and went out from his presence. Verse 11. Okay, I want to stop here. How did they purchase the food during the rest of the 5 years of famine? Starting verse 13 all the way. First of all, what did they use to buy food? Money. And then when their money used up, what did they use to buy food? Livestock. Okay, when the livestock used up, what did they use to buy food? Sold themselves as slaves and what else? And the land. I want to stop here. I want you to learn something, okay? How come they have to use the money to buy food? Wesley? You're not sure? Christopher? You don't know? Gabriel? No, I'm saying how come the Egyptian has to use up their money to buy food? You don't know? What do they have before they have 7 years of famine? Hmm?
7 plentiful years,
right? Now look at me, okay? When you graduate and you have job, don't spend all your money in computer game, iPod, iPad, iPhone and all this garbage. Especially I'm talking to Wesley. Do you understand? Don't use up all this money when you have a good time. Because you do not know what will happen when you are unemployed. When you are unemployed, all this iPhone, iPad, you're going to sell it, okay, to buy food. Then you're in deep trouble. So what should you do when you have job, Wesley, based upon this Bible? What have you learned? Do not waste all your money. Because you get 7 good years. You think, well, I get 7 good years, I'm going to get another good 7 years. 7 good years. No. After 7 good years, you get 7 bad years. All that money you store up will be long gone. You know what? In here, the Bible says, let me show you something.
they have seven bountiful year, very fruitful, okay? They make a lot of money. And then they have seven bad year, right? Famine. Now it's only what? It's only 2 years. They have five more years to go. They use up the money already. 7 years of saving. Use it up in 2 years. That means they waste a lot. Do you understand? I tell you what to do, okay? When you get a job, you don't buy a brand new car. You buy a second-hand car. But a good one. You understand? Save up some money. Because you do not know what will happen in the future. But I can guarantee you, I hope in the 7 years of tribulation, I'm not around. I pray that you are not around. But just in case, if you are a counterfeit Christian, you're not a true Christian, you will stay behind in the 7 years tribulation. You have a very, very difficult time. 1 year of one day wages can only provide food for 1 day. In those days, food is very, very expensive. You understand? So you will have to be very, very careful. Joseph knows that the Egyptian will go through 7 good years, and after that, 7 bad years. Since Joseph has the wisdom from God, in the 7 good years, he stopped all the food. Whereas the other people waste it, spend it, as if every year will be good year. And not knowing that after 7 years, good years, it will be 7 bad years. You do not know when you're going to lose the job. You understand? Learn from this Bible. There's always a rainy day. Not every day is sunshine. Just like what the book of Proverbs saying. A foolish man will eat up everything that he earned. You save up for the future. You got that? They don't save it up. Egyptians don't save it up. But I tell you the same thing. The Caucasian, they don't save up. The American, they don't save. Canadian, they don't save up. Okay? The European, they don't save up. That's why Greek and Italy, they have a problem. You understand? The European has a big problem. The Asian is a lot better. The Korean save up, Chinese save up, Japanese save up. Okay? Remember, you don't spend them all. Remember that. Don't invest so much on a fancy car. Car depreciate. You buy a brand new car, 5 years from today, you spend, let's say, $50,000 for a car, 5 years later, your car worth less than $20,000. $30,000 is gone. You got that? But if you invest in a house, hopefully you don't invest in a high price, you know. In those days, they bought a house in California. Now they, if let's say if it is $100, now it's only 45. It dropped 55%, unfortunately. Okay? Nobody knows whether the price will go up or go down. But at least you invest in the house, you will stay there. Okay? You got to spend your money wise. Don't be a foolish. Don't be a foolish man. Prepare in ahead of time. Do you remember the story of a five wise virgin? They prepare before Jesus come back. There are five foolish virgins. They don't prepare. When you were young, you don't know that. You think it's every year is good year. Every day is good day.
as you become older and older, you know that not every day is sunshine. Sometimes it's a rainy day. Sometimes it's a snow day, right? You got to learn that. Prepare ahead of time. Then you will be as wise as Joseph. In the seventh good year, Joseph store up the food, don't waste it, and put it in the storage. And the other people, they don't store up, they waste it. And then they use the money to buy the food from Joseph. When the money used up, they sell their livestock and to buy food. And then they lost all the money, they lost all the livestock, and now they lost all the land. Okay? Why? In order to survive, to buy food. Isn't it? Let me tell you one other story. What's the reason why we have to work? Based upon this story. Gabriel? What's the reason, main reason that you have to work? Support the family and earn a living. What is the basic necessity? Food. You go to work, it's for what? For food, right? Isn't it? Do you need a land? But if you have a land without food, what good does it do? Which is more important? Food. You don't need a land, right? You need food. So that's why they sell the land. Isn't it? Right beside the food, I want you to write down Gospel of John, chapter 4. Verse 34. What did Jesus say? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish it. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 34. They used the money to buy food, and later, when they use up their money, they use livestock to buy food. When they use up all their livestock, they use the land to buy food, to sustain their life. And where's Jesus? What did Jesus say? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. I also want you to write it down right beside food. I want you to write it down. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. Man does not live on food alone. That food is physical food. But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man does not live on food alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Animal live on food alone, but men of God live on both physical food and spiritual food. And Jesus, I want you to write down right beside 4:4. He write down Gospel of John, chapter 4:34. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. I want you to write down right beside 4:4. You write down John 4:34. Right beside 4:34, you write down Matthew 4:4. So what have you learned then? I want to give you a contrast. What the Egyptians are doing. Egyptians live on bread alone. Egyptian does not live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Gabriel, do you know why I'm saying what I'm saying? Why? Did Egyptian saw that Joseph stopped the food? Egyptians see that. He said that Joseph is foolish guy. We are having a good time. We earn the money and then we spend it. We buy luxury car and a luxury item. We spend them all. Next year is good year again. We keep on spending. We keep on enjoying our life. Do you see what I see, Hannah? Egyptian saw what Joseph has done. Joseph, during the good year, keep building storage area to store the food. He's busy saving up the money. Right? They don't. They see it, they don't follow that. Because they do not live on the every word that come from the mouth of God. God spoke to Pharaoh that you have 7 good year and 7 bad year. But Pharaoh did not understand the dream that he has. Joseph interpreted the dream. Joseph knows that this is the word of God. Joseph does not live on bread alone. He lives on every word that come from the mouth of God. And he prepared himself. He be wise. You know what? If he's wise, and if you are a foolish man, all your money belongs to me because I'm wiser than you. On top of that, all your livestock belongs to me. In the end, all your land belongs to me too, and you become my slave. Do you see what I'm seeing? Do you want to be a wise man? Wise is powerful. If you are foolish, you're going to suffer the consequences. Do you understand? So man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Joseph believed in that. Joseph lived on the physical food and also lived on the spiritual food. He remembered what God has said. He did what he's supposed to do. Right? And then, he followed God's will. Prepare ahead of time. Then he became the ruler over all Egyptians. Do you know what happened in the financial turmoil that we have now? What is the reason? The Americans spending top dollar to buy houses they cannot afford. And when the famine comes, the bank call for foreclosure because they lost their job. They shouldn't buy such a big house. They bought that big house. They cannot afford to pay the monthly mortgage. They give the house back to the bank. Do you see that? History repeats itself.
If they study Genesis chapter 47, they should learn that. I know you do not know what I'm talking about because you live under the roof of your parents. But your parents understand that. If you learn this lesson ahead of time, you'll be wiser than a lot of people. Do you know that? Do you know that? Make sure you do not live on physical food alone. Physical food is sustain your physical life. But you need spiritual food so that you know what to do ahead of time. With the Word of God, then you know what to do. Hannah, could you tell me what have you learned today? What else? So does that mean that you, in a good year, you save up a lot of money and not giving to the church? Well, because I got to save up. I don't know what is seven good year. What happened to seven bad year? Did you study the book of Acts, chapter 2? Yeah. You know, in Acts chapter 5, the early Christian, once they come to know Christ, they give to the church. They give so much, they even sell their land. And then later on, there's an earthquake. They have no cushion. And they bankrupt. And that's why Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, writing to Galatians, writing to Ephesus, and tell the Gentile Christian, you should pay the Jewish Christian back. Because when they believe in Jesus Christ, they sell the land, give to the church, so that the evangelists can keep on preaching the gospel to you Gentile. Now that you believe in Jesus Christ, because of them, you pay them back. I tell you one thing. Whatever the money that you earn and you use it in your own way, not in a God's way, you have to be responsible for your own self. But if you spend the money in God's way, God remember that, God will pay you back. And God will protect you. First lesson you should learn. Secondly, save up for yourself. You understand? Save up for yourself. Don't use every penny. Don't overspend. Things that you cannot afford, don't buy. Right? I heard Hannah saying don't buy any nonsense, right? Non-essential things, right? Good. I want you to learn this life lesson because that will change your life. You know what? Especially nowadays. I still remember when I first come back from New York, I see the house going up, keep going up. Oh man, I say, what is going on? I came here 73, the house never go up. It stayed there for 20, 30 years like that. Bang, all of a sudden, within the last 10 years, it keep going up. But I tell you, I guarantee you, it will go down. It will. You don't chase after that. Okay? When I was in New York, American, they were so proud. Before 2002, 9/11, you know what they brag about? They say, every financial stock, every stock throughout the whole world, they go down. They brag. They say, no, our stock won't go down. Every house has bubble. And they say, no, our housing won't go bubble. Now, both of them go bubble now. You understand? And I believe Edmontonian, now people in here, they say, Canadian housing won't go down. I tell you, it will go down. I don't know when, okay? But it will. Way overpriced, man. When I built this kind of house, at that time, very, very cheap. Now it's unaffordable. 500,000, 600,000, are you crazy? No. Nobody can afford. Not every people come from mainland China with cash. Look at all the Caucasian. They're very poor. Very, very poor. You see that all they get a good sofa, good love seat, they get it from brick warehouse. Don't pay until 2024. It's crazy. Okay? Don't do that. Don't follow them. It's a dead end. Now, if you study the statistic, Canadian family spend more than what they earn. Sooner or later, it will go bubble. Remember that. When you have money, don't spend them all. Save up for the rainy day. All right? And also, I want you to memorize two Bible verses when you left. Gospel of John 4:34, Matthew 4:4. It's for your own good. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Joseph is the example. And so that's why he's an overcomer. He's a winner. He's not a loser. You know, if you have the money, let's say if you want to go to U.S. for retirement or whatever, now you go to Florida, you know how much the house? In Florida, the house, big house like this, is only 70,000. In here, it's crazy. Right? The weather is better, 100 times better than here. So don't go crazy, okay? Open your eyes, see wider. Same as in Texas. Okay? People, they don't see that. They chase after the wind. But doesn't matter. I don't care how many houses you buy. When Jesus Christ comes back, all of them will be burned down to ashes. Okay? One is enough for you to stay. How many bedrooms you need? You can lie down and sleep like that? You can only sleep in one room, okay? Right? Don't enslave yourself for that. Enough is enough. All right? Unfortunately, they don't learn the lesson. Egyptians, just like the European, just like the Caucasian, they earn $100, they spend $140. And $40 on credit, on credit card. They pay the minimum balance. Don't ever do that. Look at me. In the future, when you have a credit card, make sure when the credit card statement come, okay, you pay right away. You don't have to pay on today's day.
you pay on the due day. You understand? Pay everything on the due day. Okay? If you don't have the money to spend, don't use the credit card. When you use the credit card, you use it as if cash. You make sure you have the money to pay back on 25 days later, or maybe 20 days later, okay, when the statement comes. If you don't save up when the statement comes, oh, you'll be in deep trouble.
Hannah, do you know what's the interest rate for the credit card? 19.75%. Do you pay all your payment in full? Really? Okay, you know how many poor people there are, okay?
They're stupid, right? Yeah, now you learn it. Okay, go back. You know, I have a member in New York. That fellow, you know, he told me at first he came from Taiwan. It's the first time he got a credit card. He's so happy when he attend my Bible study class. He say, "Hey, Pastor John, I just get $200 from the ATM." I said, "How can you get $200?" He said, "You use the credit card to get $200, and I can pay back." He said to me, "I can pay back in the due day, and then I don't have to pay interest." I said, "You don't read the fine print." I said, "You better put back the money right now. Even though you put back the money right now, you have to pay $5 service charge already. You never use the credit card to take out cash. That is what I call cash in advance. They charge you the interest on the day you take the money out. You understand? Never do that. Okay? Okay. They use the money to buy the food, use the livestock to buy the food, later on they use the land to buy the food. And then what happened? 20. So what did the Bible say in verse 20? The Egyptian, one and all, sold their field. I look at you, you look at me, I don't say, you don't say, I follow you, you follow me. That's exactly what happened in American and Canadian. They don't save up. But Joseph saved up. And end up Joseph owned all the land. Okay? Because they sold their field because the famine was so severe for them. They don't realize the famine was too severe for them. Why? Because they do not live on every word that come out from the mouth of God. God spoke to Joseph and Joseph spoke to Pharaoh. You understand? You believe in the word of God, then you prepare in advance. You'll be wiser. Keep going. The land became Pharaoh's.
From one end to each field, however, he did not buy the land of the priests, because they received a regular allotment from Pharaoh and had food enough to the allotment Pharaoh gave. That's why he did not sell the land. Joseph said to the people, "Now that I have bought you and your land from Pharaoh, there is seed for you to plant the ground. But when the crop comes in,
okay, stay here. Do you know what's the what was the name of the governor in Texas? He want to be a presidential candidate. He has what you call a new tax plan. What kind of tax plan he has? 20%. He followed Joseph. He studied the Bible. 20% tax. Flat tax. You make $100, you give $20 to the Pharaoh. Why? Because you sold all your land to Pharaoh give you back the land as a rental property,
But the land belongs to Pharaoh already, right? You sell the land for food, and then Pharaoh gives you seed to sow in the field. So every time when you harvest of your labor, you make, let's say, you harvest 100 ton of grain, you give 20 ton to Pharaoh, 20%, one-fifth. That's tax. That's where the tax come from. Okay? What is his name? The cow, do you know? Not Jeff Bush. What do you say? Yeah. He's a presidential candidate. Rick, okay, keep going. Verse 20. So Joseph bought all the land in Egypt for Pharaoh, the Egyptian, one and all, sold their field because the famine was so severe for them. The land became Pharaoh's, and Joseph reduced the people to servitude, and from one end of Egypt to the other. However, he did not buy the land of the priests because they received a regular allotment from Pharaoh and had food enough from the allotment Pharaoh gave them. That's why they did not sell the land. Verse 23.
Now that I've brought you and your land today, Pharaoh, here is seed for you so you can plant the ground. But when the crop comes in, give a fifth of it to Pharaoh. The other four-fifths you may keep as seed in the field as food for yourselves and your household.
So what happened in China if you're a farmer? The land belongs to who? To China, right? Belongs to government. Now, if you're a farmer, so when you harvest the crops, how much you give to the government?
I'm not sure, but I think...
20% to you?
I think more than that.
More than that?
I'm not sure. Really.
Okay, now 25. It's a law. So they acquire property. Why they acquire property? Gabriel? How come the Israelites can acquire property while everybody sell their land? They save up money too. Right? Yeah. They acquire property. And I found out that the Jewish people, they're very smart. When you sell at a low price, they buy them all. And they never sell it to you. And they accumulate. And they give it to their children. And the children after them. And they learn it from the Bible. They learn it from the Bible. Okay, keep going.
Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the years of his life were 147. What time drew near for Israel?
Hold on a second. Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the year of his life were what? 147. When he blessed Pharaoh, how old is he at that time? 130, right? 47, 9? Now 47, 28. The years of his life were 147. So how long he stayed in Egypt? 17 years, right? Isn't it? 130, 17, 147. Verse 29.
Called his son Joseph, he said, well, if I found favor in your eyes, what kind of life I've Jesus said that swear to me, then Joseph swore to him, and then go worship as he knew on top of the staff.
Okay, well, I will answer my question. What is the reason why Jacob wants his son Joseph to swear, to promise him that not to bury him in the land of Egypt? Do not bury me in Egypt. But when I rest with my father, carry me out of Egypt and bury me in where they are buried. What's the reason? Donald? Do you know? Tradition? Christopher? Do you know why? Gabriel? When Jacob left for Egypt, God appeared to him and spoke to him in a vision, saying to him that, I will bring you back, right? He did not live on bread alone. He lived on every word that come from the mouth of God. He remembered God said to him that you and your descendants won't stay there for long. What if he buried in the land of Egypt and all his descendants going to move away? Then you could be alone in Egypt, right? He know that. He and his people, his descendant after him, will stay there for only what? 400 years, right? So that's why he want his son Joseph to swear to him. To swear to him. Do not bury me in Egypt. In where my forefather places, that is land of Canaan. Because they will move back there. Right? Because of that instruction. Later on you see that. In the Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph died, he did the same thing. He said to his children after him, don't bury me in the land of Egypt. Put it in the coffin. When you move, bring me out. Because they believe the word of God. Man means the man of God. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jacob, before he died, what did he remember? Gabriel? That is very important, right? A lot of people, before they die, say, oh, where's my jewelry? Where's my gold? Where's my land? All these are garbage. That's not word of God. He lived on the word of God. He remembered what God said. And that not only changed his life, and also changed Joseph's life. When Joseph left that place, he changed the whole Israelite life. Can you imagine, you know, when Joseph died and people say, well, how come there's a coffin here? Everybody buried, right? And when your son after you ask, Daddy, what does it mean? Then you tell him the story. We're going to stay here as a sojourner, as a stranger, as an alien for only 400 years. We will go back. You got that? Now, what are you going to say to your children when you die? You're going to say you're going to live in this world for a long, long time, forever? Or you're going to go to where? Where are you going to go? Tell your children. You understand? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We only stay here temporarily. But if you do it as if you're going to stay here forever and keep accumulate houses, then your children say, wow, mommy, daddy, what are you doing? Isn't that what the Bible says? All these things will be burned up to ashes? What are you doing? What are you doing? Right? So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to each and every one of us. I know that we won't be
living as long as Jacob, 147 years. And at the age of 147 years, he still remembers what God has said to him when he's 130. Because he remembers what his father, Isaac, told him. Isaac remembers what Abraham told him. Lord, help us to pass on the word of God to our children and children after us and require them to instruct the children after them, the word of God, so that none of us live on bread alone, but on the word, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God, so that we know what to say to our children before we pass away. And help us to do it, to learn this lesson and learn it well. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.